I'm encouraged to say it again. Good morning. Great. Even better. Very good. Very good. It's so good to be with you again and to open the scriptures together. This morning, we will be camping on Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. And we will be seeing there that there is no room for neutrality before Jesus. Last week, we stood with Joseph, father of Jesus, a man troubled by what he saw. His betrothed was pregnant, but God spoke. And he said through the angel, that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And Matthew told us, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. And what Joseph did, he obeyed, and he became part of God's faithfulness. Now we will be in Luke. Luke tells us the same story, but from another angle, from another perspective. Excuse me. He starts with the decree from Caesar, the journey to Bethlehem. They found that there were no room in the inn, then the manger, then angels filling the sky, singing glory to God in the highest, shepherds running and worshiping and telling everyone, and Mary treasuring all these things that were happening in her heart. 8 days later, in verse 21, the circumcision, and now they moved to Jerusalem, to the temple, to the purification of Mary according to the law. Everything was in order. Everything was fulfilled. Angels, shepherds, prophecies, promises, all pointing to joy. And then a man walks in. His name is Simeon. And he takes the baby in his arms. He opened his mouth. And what he says is not what anyone expected. Let's read the scripture and then we will pray. Verses 25 through 35. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to the people, to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marvel at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you because we are not alone. Thank you because we are not alone in front of these passages that sometimes are so difficult. Thank you because we are not alone just hearing, but you're guiding us. You're opening our minds or ears or eyes to understand and to follow you and to live according to your word. Please, we ask you this morning, teach us, change our hearts, reveal our hearts. Help us to understand that we cannot be neutral before you. And please, move our hearts close to you so that we can worship you as it is worth of your name. In your name, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. This morning we will be seeing 3 points. The first is the promised consolation in verses 25 and 26. The second one will be the worship salvation, verses 27 through 32. And then the inescapable revelation. Thank you, brother. Thank you very much. The inescapable revelation in the last three verses. Let's start with the promised consolation. Let's start asking, who was this man Simeon? The scripture does not tell us a lot about him. Some people will say that he was an old man, and it makes kind of sense, but we don't know for sure. And we don't know who his family was. We don't know what his occupation was. What we do know from scripture is that he was a righteous and devout man, and that he lived in Jerusalem, verse 25. Just to say that, help us, sheds a light, helping us to understand that he lived in a time that was very difficult. Living in Jerusalem at that time, it was a time when religion was degenerated, was marked by legalism, was marked by worldliness. That's why the people like the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes were so famous in the New Testament, because legalism and worldliness. But as scripture also teaches us about the motivation of this man. And in verse 25, we read that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And not only about his motivation, but also his empowerment. Also in verse 25, we read the Holy Spirit was upon him. So this was Simeon, a man from Jerusalem, righteous, devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Simeon was a man who knew the scriptures. To refer to the consolation of Israel, it is a direct citation, a direct reference to Isaiah. From Isaiah chapter 40 till 66, you can find a lot of references of how the Messiah is prophesied as the consolation of Israel. And I want to read this morning a small portion of it in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, the rough places a plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And passages like this, promising the end of the conflict with the Lord, are common in Isaiah and in other parts of the prophets in the Old Testament as well. So when the scripture says that Simeon was waiting the consolation of Israel, Luke could have said he was waiting for the Messiah. But no, he was waiting what this man knew, the result, the comfort that the Messiah would bring in. And there are some other passages that if you, I know that some of you take notes, that if you want to read more about the consolation of Israel, you can read the full chapter 40, chapter 49, chapter 52, chapter 61. Each of these chapters will point to the same hope, God himself coming to comfort his people. And Simeon understood through the Spirit that this Messiah was more than a political deliverer. He and his people needed a spiritual deliverer. But Simeon not only had hope, he also had a promise. In verse 26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. He had a promise. Simeon knew he was not going to live forever. He knew it. The Spirit promise made that clear. Before you see death. So death was not something abstract to him. It was something he was, in some sense, expecting after seeing the Messiah. And Simeon didn't pretend otherwise, but he wasn't waiting for death. He was waiting for the consolation. He was waiting for the Messiah. He had a word from God, and that word gave him something to live toward, not just something to die before. What sustained him was not optimism. It was not denial. It was God's promise. And God's Spirit as well. That's what held him through the waiting. Jesus, brothers and sisters, Jesus is the consolation for his people. And Simeon was about to meet him. The next section. We already saw that there was a promise, consolation. Now there's a worship salvation. Verses 27 through 32. In this section, we see Simeon's relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you read the last line of verse 26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. Oh, since the 25, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And in verse 27, and he came in the Spirit into the temple. We see how the Spirit and Simeon had a special relationship, to the point that it was the Spirit giving promises to him. Not only being present with him, but giving promises to him and leading him to the Messiah, to enjoy this promise, consolation. But the fulfillment did not come only through the promise, but also through obedience. Through obedience of Jesus' parents. We read in verse 21 that Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day after his birth. That was part of the law. Sorry, I don't know what's happening with my throat today. Under the Levitical law, and you can read the whole chapter at home, we will read a portion in a moment, but a woman was considered ceremonially unclean for 40 days following the birth of a male child. And at the end of this period, she was required to present herself at the temple to offer a sacrifice for her purification. Let me read a portion of Leviticus 12, verses 6 through 8. And when the days of her purifying are completed, whether for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting a lamb a year old for a burnt offering, and a pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. And he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her. Then she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. This is the law for for her who bears a child, either male or female. And if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take two turtle doves or two pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. And the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean. And what we read here in Luke is in verse 27, that they were in the temple and they were doing according to the custom of the law. And being there, Simeon comes, and when he see the child, when he saw the child, he knew in the presence, in whose presence he was. Nobody told him that's the child, but the Spirit. And he knew, and he took the child. Can you imagine just being here at church and suddenly 40 with your 40-day-old baby being taken from a man that you don't know and taking him and putting him like this and start praying to the Lord? That would be kind of shocking, right? But this is what was happening to them. But it was Simeon being guided by the Holy Spirit. maybe for Joseph and Mary, was not strange anymore. 10 months ago, an angel appeared to us, maybe they can say. And twice, once to him, once for me, could say Mary. So maybe this was not so rare for them. But what we want to see in Simeon is to pay attention to his reaction to the kid. He came not saying, oh, this is such a beautiful kid. No, he understood immediately who he was. What was his purpose? The purpose of the child being there. His purpose being there as well. And the passage says, and he came in the spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and blessed God. His reaction was worship. Was to worship the Lord. Not to play with the child. But to worship the Lord. Because his salvation was there. Usually when we think about Christmas, we don't think in the cross. We think in a baby. But that baby came to be salvation. And salvation was not possible without the cross. And in this passage, Simeon speaks in verses 29 through 32 what is known as the Nunc Dimittis. In Luke chapter 1 and 2, there are four passages that historically the church considers songs of praise. The first one is in chapter 1, the Magnificat of Mary. The second one is the Benedictus of the prophet Zechariah. The third one is in chapter 2, verse 14, the Gloria in Excelsis. And this is the fourth one, the Nunc Dimittis. Nunc Dimittis is Latin, and those words mean, now I am dismissed. So if we consider this a song, this is a song of dismissal, if I'm not inventing a word, hopefully. If I'm inventing it, well, now we can use it. There's no copyright. But let me read this song. Lord, verse 29. Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. Let me pause a little bit. When Simeon says, Lord, the common word that we read in the Bible for Lord is kurios in the Greek. My intention now is not to give a Greek class or something like that, but to point to a word that I know that you will identify easily. Because the word that Simeon uses is despotes. And I know that maybe we all know in these times that in many countries we have despot leaders. But despot is the way we use that word today. In those days, to speak about or to talk about a despot was to acknowledge the authority, the absolute authority of a leader.
So it was not something bad. Calling the Lord despota or despotes was praising the Lord, acknowledging that he was, that his authority was above all and everywhere. Not only that, but we read, now you are letting your servant. The word he's using here is doulos. It's the word for a slave. The way Simeon saw himself was as the servant of the Lord, as the slave of the Lord, as the one who was being bought by the Lord to do the will of the Lord. And the will of the Lord was that he waited for the Messiah. And that was he was doing. He was waiting for that moment to see the Messiah, his salvation.
And he says, now you're letting your servant depart. He knew. He knew what was happening at that moment. But I don't know if you, this will sound like the title of a song. I don't know if you see what I see. But he was not like clinging to this life. He was ready. He was ready. And we can see that he was ready when we read the words, you are letting your servant to depart in peace. He was not struggling with the idea of leaving this world. He was kind of relieved or satisfied, knowing what's coming next, a greater joy, being in the presence of his Lord forever. According to your word, he knew that his Lord was and is faithful. He knew what he was expecting precisely because it was according to the word of the Lord. And he knew not because he was guessing, no. For my eyes have seen your salvation. He was in the presence of his Savior, of the salvation personified. So the terror of death had been taken away, and he was ready to depart in peace into the presence of his Lord. Why? Because he was in front of his salvation. He was not saying, because I have heard about it. No. He was there, enjoying his presence. The promise for Simeon was flesh and blood in his arms, not only in the tenderness of the Son of God incarnate as a baby, but also he knew that this baby was the one who was going to pay for his sins in the cross. Maybe he didn't know that it was in the cross, but that he was the one being the mediator of the new covenant. The suffering servant of Isaiah. He knew that in the future of this child,
the future sufferings of this child were for his salvation. And Simeon was worshiping in all this, saying to the Lord, "It's according to your word. You're faithful."
Not only that, he says that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.
This one, he knew that this was not only for him. This was not only for Israel. He knew that this was also for us, brothers and sisters, to all nations.
That baby
was not just a baby. The Son of God incarnate was there. Growing in the midst of a poor family, preparing himself so that at the proper time he was start moving to the cross.
Simeon's song could have ended there. Peace, salvation, light, glory.
It would be a fitting conclusion, right?
But Simeon wasn't finished yet. Let's see the last three verses to see the inescapable revelation. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him.
Of course, those were amazing words.
And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother.
Let's pay attention to what's happening here. Simeon saw their reaction, and he knew there was more to say. But the rest of the words were not for both of them, but only for Mary.
And he says, "Behold, this child is appointed.
It's appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel."
And when he says it's appointed, by the context, we know that he was appointed by God. Notice that the text doesn't say for fall or raising, but for fall and raising, because it's the same Christ who was going to produce both responses. Some will stumble over him and never recover. Some will feel offended by his claims. Some will resist his lordship, and they will fall. But others will stumble in him too. But they will fall in repentance, and they will be raised by him. Same Christ, two outcomes.
Can't you imagine the heart of Mary receiving these kind of words? So there will be conflict around my child.
So there will be pain around him. Let me read his words again. "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed."
So, Mary, there will be a lot of opposition against your kid.
Verse verse 35, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also. So that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. If we consider that there is a parenthesis there, we can read that the child is appointed for a sign that is opposed, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. In the opposition against this child, the heart of man is revealed. But this opposition was going to be extreme. He is a sign. He was the sign that demanded a response. And he would be opposed, spoken against, contradicted. Jesus would be the target of much hostility, hatred, and constant conflict. And Mary's heart would suffer with the pain of her son suffering. But before Christ, all hypocrisy would be revealed, and every heart would be laid bare. There's an author who said, the song of Simeon was not just as the song for a baby, and was not only the song of dismissal, but it was also the song of a funeral. Because this child, because Simeon was going to die after seeing the baby. But this child also was appointed to die to rescue us. My question this morning, brothers and sisters, is how do we stand before Christ? Let me make it more personal. Not how do we together. No, how do you, each of us, how do we stand before Christ? Have you embraced Christ? Or do you live in fear that he will uncover your heart? Maybe you have been resisting him in different ways. Let me tell you that this resistance reveals your heart, as it reveals minds as well. But you are invited to come to him in repentance, and in him you will find forgiveness. Maybe you think that you are neutral. Oh no, I will be just an observer. Don't ask about my opinion, please. Let me tell you that even that kind of inaction is in itself a response to Jesus. We cannot be just observers before him. If we decide to be neutral, our heart is being revealed as well. And the invitation is, come to him, repent. Just as Simeon did, we need to respond to this encounter with Jesus. Simeon did not come to Jesus because of his skill, but because he was being guided by the Holy Spirit. So if you know this morning that you are stumbling in Jesus, it's not by accident, it's not by chance. If you somehow understand this morning that you need Jesus, it's not by spiritual skill or theological skill. It's because the Holy Spirit as well
is working in you. You're not here today by chance hearing this Honduran preacher destroying your language. You will have to restore it after this. It is not by chance. It is according to God's purpose, so that you may encounter this Jesus who knows your heart and still offers his salvation. He already died on the cross to save us from our sins, we read last week. Perhaps this morning you are struggling with the fear of death. Maybe because of illness, maybe because of age. This is a conversation that my wife and I have had lately. How do we react to death? Not to the death of others, to the idea of our own death. How does Jesus change this reaction in our lives? This is not an easy conversation. But in Christ, we have no reason to fear death. He conquered death so that we would no longer have to fear it. There is no reason to fear death. The Christ who exposes the heart is also the Christ who saves us from death. Simeon was there holding the child and saying, "Now let your servant depart in peace." That peace of Simeon is also available to you, for you. Not because death is nothing, but because Christ is everything. That peace is available to you. What is not available to any of us is neutrality. Before Jesus Christ, there is no room for neutrality. But there's room, there is abundant room for mercy. You cannot hide from Jesus, but you can come to him. Let's come to our Savior. Will you pray with me? Thank you, Father in heaven. Because you sent your Son, your only begotten Son, to pay for our sins, to destroy the power of the evil one and also the power of death, so that we can live without fear, but in full assurance, so that we can live in peace with you, knowing that at some point the date of our departure will come as well, and we will start having the greater joy of our lives, especially when we see our Lord Jesus Christ face to face. And we will be seen as he knows us as well. Help us, Father. Help us, Holy Spirit, to find our greater joy, not in this life, not in this world, but in the world to come. Help us, dear Lord. So that we don't have to fear death anymore. In Jesus' name we pray.